any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for their state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him who as a son with the Father has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, your messenger and he that ministered unto my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me.
David, do you have the recorder going?
Yes.
I was so challenged by listening to your statements a while ago concerning what you've learned from Philippians. I heard some of you say statements concerning about being a servant. You just heard in your hearing the very reason why it is always, always, and I say again, always honorable to be a servant. Because the greatest servant of all is Jesus Christ. Christ who left heaven, took on the form of flesh, and came to earth, took on the form of a servant. Being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself. That's why it's always good to humble yourself, because that's being like Christ. And therefore, it is always profitable to be a servant. Because if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be servant of all. And the other thing I want to share with you before we finish tonight, what I want to is on my heart to give to you. And that is, I don't know if you noted or not, and I'm not trying to build up my wife or whatever, I'm so thankful for her, but did you note how she quoted scripture to you? That it wasn't just humdrum, dry? Did you note voice inflection? Did you hear her heart? I'm begging you with all of my heart that you never allow this book to become just an academic piece of material in your life.
Amen.
Even when you read it, I challenge our people in our church all the time, read it as a fresh love letter from the Lord. Because that's what it is. This book is not dead, and it is life continually flowing free and fresh to you every time you open it up. And so, how dare us to read, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I remember when I was dating my wife, that was back in the days before cell phones. It was back in the days before Facebook. It was back in the days of snail mail. We wrote each other letters. And we even talked to each other on a phone that had a dial on it that you went like this. Some of you may have never even seen a phone like that before. But I want you to know something. When my wife would write to me every day, I knew when the mail was coming into my P.O. box at school. And I was down there waiting. And I couldn't wait to turn 41161 on my P.O. box. And if there was not a letter in there, that was a very bad, no good day. But when I got it, I don't care who was around me. I opened it up. I took the letter out. Read every bit of it. And I read it again. Sometimes I read it out loud. And I could hear her voice talking to me as I read the letter. You want to know why? Not because I'm supposed to do it because I'm in a relationship. It's because I have a relationship with my wife. And I wanted to hear what she had to say. And in essence, it comes out this way when you really allow the Word to get a hold of you. And it's this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see the difference? It's alive. It's not. And you know what? I'm hoping. I'm trusting. My hope and desire for you is that when you leave here after this week, you've been revived. And you'll go back to wherever you're serving, whatever country you're in, and your family and the people that you fellowship with in your local church will say, wow, they're different. If you go back the same, by the way, you won't go back the same. You will either go back closer to the Lord or farther away from him. There's no such thing as static Christianity. You're either growing or you're digressing, one or the other. And all this week you've been here, you're either growing toward Christ or you're moving backwards. There's none of this static Christianity. Okay? I hope that you be like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. The council said, they're unlearned and ignorant men. But there's one thing I'll tell you what we know about them. They've been with Jesus. I hope your family and everybody in your church can say that about you when you go home. There's something different about you. I'll tell you what, young folks. I heard somebody say a while ago about connecting. It's not just your parents' ministry. It's your ministry too. You better believe it. And I want to encourage you, get on your horse and ride. Let's go. Let's be something for Jesus Christ. And the Word is precious to you. And I want to share with you tonight two things that will encourage you and help you with this. So what we've looked at so far, I said, we saw this morning that we are set apart by Christ. Last night, we are servants of Christ. And let me just go through this because I'm going to go to three. I want you to see tonight something that is really the capstone of everything I've shared with you so far. We are empowered by God to live out His value and His vision in community. When you go to Portugal, when you go back to Poland, when you go back to Yap, wherever you're going, you know what? You're taking me with you. Not because I necessarily want to go there. I'd be neat if I could. But you know what? You're my sister and brother in Christ. And may I say it this way? We're in this thing together. We're serving a great God who has called all of us to live out His values and His vision in this heathen world and to make a difference for Christ. And I want you to know something. My church back home has been calling your name before the throne of grace for about 3 weeks. Every one of you. And when we go back, I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm going to see Paul in my mind. I'm going to see David in my mind. I'm going to see Mark in my mind. I'm going to see Miriam in my mind. I'm going to see several of you. I'll see you in my mind, and I'll be praying for you. And you better believe that when I'm praying for you, it's almost like I'm saying, Daniel, keep going, keep going. Win those souls in that conservatory. Reach out for them. Pray for them. Ask God to open their hearts to Jesus Christ. You better believe it. You say, you're over the top. You better believe it. Because you know what? I believe we're serving, as I've already told you, we're serving the greatest. We have the greatest opportunity. We serve a great God. There's none like Him. And He wants to use you. Think about that. And one day, you're going to stand before Him, and I want to hear Him say, well done, Nicholas. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear Him. I want to stand there with you. And I don't know how it's going to all happen, but I'm going to spiritualize a little bit. I want to be back, good ways back. And I want to see Tim up front. I want to go, yes. Yes! He finished strong.
Amen.
And I want to look, and I want to see Judson up there. And I want to say, yes. I remember when Judson was in that MRT, that MT retreat. I'm thinking about another thing in my mind. I was confused there. Anyway, forgive me, okay? I'm still medicated from my surgery, all right? Anyway, no, just kidding. But I'm standing there, and I see you. Then I see my buddy David back there. I say, yes. I see Tay-Tay. I go, yes. She finished strong. And I'm going to tell you how you can finish strong today. I'm going to share it with you out of this passage. And I'm telling you what, I promise you, when you read the introduction to these letters, it's almost like, okay, that was the introduction. Now let's get down. There is so much in every word of Scripture. And I want you to notice when we read in verse 1 that Paul said to this church at Philippi, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, okay? That's what we are. Then we are set apart to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Hallelujah. We are an empowered community because we're servants of Christ, we're set apart in Christ, but we are supplied by Christ. And I want to tell you what you have tonight to help you accomplish everything God will ever call you to do. And the very first one is the extreme provisions of, number one, grace. Grace. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 2. He says, grace be unto you. Now you would look at that and say, let's just kind of somewhat of the introduction of a letter. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He is reminding this church at Philippi that this very God, and by the way, he's writing to that jailer, he's writing to Lydia, he's writing to that demon-possessed girl that you read about in Acts chapter 16, and he's reminding them, let me tell you something. You're not only a servant of Christ, you're not only set apart by Christ, but I want to remind you from the very beginning, you have everything you need. You were saved by grace, and it is the grace of God that will provide everything you will need all the days of your life. Grace is what God does for you with no strings attached. I'm going to say it right now. I look back here and I see a bunch of adults and even saw some Facebook pictures of the Zimmer family helping out before we got here. And you stand here and you go, wow, thank you Dodgins. Wow, thank you Alvarez's. Thank you Bonikowski's. Thank you Willis's. Thank you whatever. But you know what? You are living, sitting here tonight, only everything that has happened around here is all by one thing, grace. God's gift to you. And there's no strings attached. He wants you to enjoy it. It's a free gift. It begins at salvation. God saves you by His grace. He keeps you by His grace. He sustains you by His grace. He empowers you by His grace. When you die, He will give you dying grace. And that same grace will take you to glory. God always operates on the principle of grace, not on works. You can't make Him love you more. You can't make it up to Him. You walk in the Spirit, live in the Word, and you every morning get up and say, Lord, thank You that Your grace will be sufficient for me today. I want to prove it to you. Go to 2 Corinthians with me, please, chapter 9. I love this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to just remind you of something before we look at this verse. God does not bless you because of who and what you are or what you do. It's because of your position in Jesus Christ. And you cannot, you as a teenager, you think, oh, if I just do a little bit more, then God will bless me a little more. You can't be blessed any more than you're already blessed. That's Ephesians 1:3. So, you might as well just go ahead and surrender every day and say, Lord, You do Your work in my life. Because God won't share His glory with anybody. He's going to get all the credit. That's why He gives you grace. Now watch what He does for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I love this, verse 8. Are you ready? Look at it. And God is able. Present tense. Eternal verb. God is able. That's who He is. Always. Powerful. And you can never, ever... I tell you what. Let's just say that, for instance, I'll just use Dave Willis here again. Let's just say Dave Willis is in a really extreme issue of his life. I mean, he needs the grace of God so much in a time in his life. And it really, he needs a lot of grace. You know what? God doesn't go, oh, man, I gave him about 10 pounds of grace and his wife needs 25 pounds of grace. What am I going to do? You know what? When you get done eating downstairs, the bowl that was full, it gets empty, doesn't it? Because you've been taken out of it. Are you ready for this? You can take all you want out of God's grace and look in the bowl and there's nothing missing. It never, ever, ever diminishes because God is able. In other words, there's nothing too big for your God to do in your life. Some of you girls, here you are, you're almost 47 years old and you're wondering if the Lord's ever going to bring a man along in your life. Can I encourage you? Just walk with Jesus tonight. God can bring that guy along and the right one. I'm going to share with you next week. It's kind of funny. Usually a retreat ends on a weekend or something like that. And they'll be talking to you next week. I'm going to still be here. And you're going, oh boy. But anyway. But I want to tell you about how the Lord brought Denise to me. And I'm going to share with you because I want to help you about this. It's the grace of God. God is able. So I'll save all that for later. God is able. Now watch. Verse 8. To make all grace. And the word abound means to super abundantly overflowing abound to you. That ye always. Okay, so watch what. I have this great God who is able to do anything. Is there anything too hard for God? No. So He is always able because He is omnipotent. And so since he is always able, then he has this immense universal source of grace that will never be diminished. I mean, he's got a milkshake that every time you suck out of it, you look back, man, I thought I took a drink. The cup's still full. But it's not a cup. It's more than the universe. And then he says, it's overflowing. Now watch this. And it abounds toward you that ye always, having all. Real hard question, gang. How much is all? All is all is, isn't it? It's all, right? Okay? So you have always all sufficiency. All you need. You know why? Watch this. And young folks, you need to learn the character of God. You want to know why you always have all sufficiency all the time for everything you'll ever need in your life? Because you serve an eternal God who never changes and is the same all the time. We change all the time. I mean, we're, and by the way, we don't like change. Okay? But you want to know something? That's what God wants to do in your life, every day of your life, is change you more in the image of Jesus Christ. But he's the immutable one. He does not change. And when I get up in the morning and I look into my God and I say, oh God, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. And that today, whatever I face, already I have sufficient grace. That's why you learn to be a man or woman of prayer. Because as you're going along and your whatever, perhaps your schoolwork, whether it be at home with your parents, things you're dealing with in your church, things even this week, whatever, instead of just being tense, listen, you should be the most relaxed people in the whole wide world. We should never worry. We should never be tense. We should never be stressed. Because you know what? We have an all-sufficient God who, wherever we are, he's already there when we get there with all the grace we need all the time. And you'll never face anything that hasn't already gone through the loving, sovereign hands of God. Hallelujah! I mean, I get on a plane and come over here. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really think about it. My wife, she kind of chuckles a little bit. She prays for me because I believe very strongly in Matthew. I know you've heard this before, but Matthew 28, where it says, lo, I'm with you always. Lo. Lo. Okay? Not up in a plane. All right? All right? But I love to fly. I really do. Okay? But it's just something about the thing in my mind. And that's where the battleground of your life is. It's up here. And when you think the Word of God, you'll think correctly and you'll be relaxed. And I'm preaching to myself, okay? I get on a plane and I think, all this weight, all these people. And here we are across this big pond called the Atlantic Ocean, and it's December and it's cold. And you want to know something? I can't do a thing about it. There I am in midair, in something that man made, and everything man puts his hand to, he ruins. But you know what? That's like living by grace. When that thing's flying smooth, wow. I'm just going back and going to sleep. Oh, you hit a little turbulence, but I just keep right on going. Because grace is sustaining it, and it's the way your life is. And you know what? There'll be a lot of takeoffs and a lot of landings in your Christian life, but I'm going to tell you something. Underneath you are the everlasting arms of God, whose grace is sufficient for every detail of your life to help you be empowered and make a difference for Christ in this world. And this world, I'm telling you, I believe this all in my heart, we're seeing God do too many small things. Are you with me? Because we won't believe him for the big things. And we get, and I heard somebody say this a while ago, and it's easy, I understand, to have a little small congregation of people, and you go, well, it's just us four and no more, and oh, it's just so pitiful, what's the use, and we make all kinds of excuses, whatever. I want to ask you, when's the last time you spent several hours with your family on your knees just praying and asking God to do something supernatural? And believe God for the big things. I'm going to tell you what. When I go to the ice cream shop and I order an ice cream cone, don't give me one of them little dabs. One of my favorite little cartoons is about, it's called Marmaduke. Now, have you ever known who Marmaduke is? Little big old dog, you know? And little boy goes up, I forget, can't remember his name, doesn't matter. But anyway, he's standing there and he sees the girl getting ready to turn the ice cream to come into his cone, and he wants more than what would be normal. And the caption underneath is, "Bark now, Marmaduke, bark now." Well, why does he want him to bark now? Scare her, she'll turn more on and more ice cream goes in. You know what? That's what you need to be doing. You need to be barking and believing that God will turn more of his grace than what you believe him for, because you have everything you need tonight in Christ. By the way, let me give you this. Let me finish the verse, and then I'm going to share something with you. So you have all sufficiency in all things that may superabound to every... So notice all the words. Every, all, superabound. That's grace. You see that? Every good work. Okay. So, the extreme provision supplied by Christ, because you only get God's grace through Christ. Okay? So I want to ask you a question. Don't answer me. I want you to just think about it. What's the greatest crisis in any man's life? What's the greatest crisis in any man or woman's life? Some of you might think the death of a child. Some of you might think my home being destroyed by fire. A typhoon coming through our island and just wiping us all out. A flood wiping out the farmhouse and us in it. I don't mean to scare you. But Mr. Mike's out there right now turning water. No, I'm just kidding. He's in here. Anyway. You know what the greatest crisis is in every man and woman's life? How are they going to stay out of hell? That's the greatest crisis. The greatest tragedy in this world today is that people died and went to hell. That's the greatest tragedy. The greatest crisis is that no man of his own power has the ability to keep himself from going to hell. But let me tell you what God's grace did. God's grace sends Jesus Christ to the cross to save man from his greatest crisis. And if God can take care of the greatest crisis in your life, can he not take care of the rest? Let that sink in a minute, gang. You better remember that, because you're going to have some crises in your life. God's going to send them because he wants you to know him. And he wants you to depend on his grace, and he wants to show you the magnanimous grace that he has. Which, the second extreme provision is peace. And I want you to notice, if you would please, there are some other verses I'd love for us to look at on the grace one, but for the sake of time, we'll carry right on. Go back to Philippians with me right quick, please. Philippians. Notice, if you would, grace be unto you and peace. And notice now where both of these come from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you get saved, you are an enemy of God. There's hostility between you and God. There's no peace. Your life is chaos. But at the point of salvation, when God saves you by his grace, he also gives you peace. And I want you to understand that you will never have the peace of God until you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn in Romans chapter 5 right quick. Romans chapter 5. Why do I have grace and peace? They come together. There's a purpose for it. Okay, before you look at Romans 5, look up here. Here you are, unsaved, I need the grace of God, that which God does for me on the basis of the cross work of Jesus Christ, and I'm accepted, not by my merit, but by the work of Christ, and no strings attached, I'm saved by grace. Now remember, I've also come. I cannot get to Him. I'm no righteousness of my own. I have no merit of my own, but His grace brings me to Himself through Christ. But I'm also an enemy. But at the same time, I now, because of grace, I also receive peace. And now I'm in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And no longer now am I at enmity with Him. I have the peace of God in my heart and in my life because I have peace with God. And young folks, I'm going to tell you something. You can't put a price tag on what I'm describing to you right now. Because notice, if you would, Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, and you understand what justification is, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And where do we stand? What's our position? Two words. In Christ, right? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that our tribulation works endurance. Endurance brings experience. Experience brings hope or confidence. And hope does not make us ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I mean, there's so much here in the package, but I want to just tell you this. Are you ready? If you know Christ tonight, you have peace with God. And therefore the peace of God. And all through your life, you don't have to live agitated, irritated, wondering if you're going to drop off into hell, wondering, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm an impatient individual. I really am. And it gets me in trouble. And sometimes I do not let the peace of God rule in my heart, umpire my heart. You know why? Because I'm not trusting in grace. I'm trying to live my life my way. And the worst thing you can do is live your life your way. When you have grace for everything you need, grace that will bring everything that you need when you surrender to Him, and along with that comes peace and contentment and a joy that the world can't give you. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. And some of you are so discontented tonight. And I want to tell you why. It's because you don't know your God. You don't know the Word. And you've grown up in a home where you've been taught the Word. And it's become just dusty and dry. And a part of just life that you just do. Instead of it making an impact upon your life. And having revival in your heart every day. And enjoying all that you have in grace. You may have been brought up in a home where there is a sensitivity to the Spirit, and where you are walking with the Lord, and where you enjoying the things of the Lord. May I encourage you? Don't be satisfied. Be content in what you have in Christ, but say, oh Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. You'll never exhaust who Christ is. And you have peace and joy and endurance for life. And inside, you're not bound up with all kinds of worry and fretting and wonder. Oh, what? And I've already heard somebody say, you know, I was here last year and I thought the Lord was calling me to do this. And I thought the Lord now this year. And so inside, you're going, what do I do? You know what you do? You do what you're doing right now. You sit here, your Bible open, pen in hand. You say, okay, Jesus, teach me. That's your will for me right now. Because you know what? He gives you peace. Because you know His grace will provide that calling, that direction, that provision, wherever you're to go to take the next step. God's will for you right now is to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and to know what God wants to do in your life right now at this moment through His Word. Does that make sense? Why be bound up with, oh, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm sitting here tonight, and tomorrow in our church, one of the key men who was going to be leading the service tomorrow had a death in their family, and they're up in New York State. That's a long way from Tennessee. And so tomorrow, somebody else is going to have to pick up that ball.
I'm the whole way up here, 5,000 miles away in Spain. I don't know what they're going to do tomorrow, because I'm not there. The Messiah is not there.
You know what? I really haven't thought much about it today. You know why? I'm being very transparent with you. It's called grace. They'll probably do a whole lot better over there in Tennessee tomorrow without me. Because they'll have to depend more on grace. And I'm depending more on grace. So I've had real peace about it all day today. That's his church anyway. He said he'd build it. And he can do a whole lot better job than I can. This is all by his grace. And so, let me just share with you the ultimate source. Uh-oh. I need to go back. Let me do it this way. I don't know how to do that on that clicker. I jumped ahead of myself. There we go. Notice, let's go back to Philippians 1, and I'm done, okay? Go to Philippians 1. I want to show you one thing, and I'm going to read something to you, and we're finished. Philippians chapter 1, look what he says. Grace be unto you and peace. See the little word from? Key word in this verse, in this second verse. It is the preposition of ultimate source. What's the source of peace and grace in your life? From God the Father, through Jesus Christ. So Philippians demonstrates for us that we are empowered by God to live out His vision and His value in a fallen world in community and to stay on mission no matter what our circumstances may be. By the way, that superabounding grace, I don't know if any of you were out and around. Did you see a lot of water coming off the mountain? You know, just rushing, right? That's the way grace is. It just comes. So open your heart and your mouth. Have at it. Now I want to close by sharing something with you. This is so cool. Remember last night I shared with you about my missionary friends over in Morocco, Dwight and Melissa Rooley, and how, you know, people are saying, what are you doing here? And they said, we're here. We are here to present the gospel. I just got this morning, and I had to share it with you. It's a part of their letter that I just got. I wanted to write about an encounter that we had this week. It was a reminder that there is so much to learn still, and I personally feel the weight of not being able to communicate the gospel clearly, but it was exciting to be able to represent what I believe. We were trying to catch a taxi home at night, and it was cold and wet, and all of us just wanted to be home. We ended up getting in a taxi with an older gentleman, and about halfway home, he asked me if all Americans were Christians. Wow. Opportunity, ding, 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 ding. And if you're not walking with the Lord and you're not being gospel conscious, soul conscious, you'll miss them. Watch what it says. I dodged the question by trying to explain what I believe and why I am a Christian. I've been trying to memorize John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he has even written it in here in Arabic. He's learning. I asked him if he was a Muslim, to which he replied yes, and added a long explanation that I really did not comprehend. But I did understand that he thought it was fine for me to be a Christian, and that as long as you were a good person, it didn't really matter what you believed. Now, Dwight puts in parentheses, there is a pattern that I'm seeing with moderate Muslims here that what you believe is not nearly as important as what you do. This is very different from what we teach, that doctrine is extremely important and precedes practice and is the basis for what we do. End of quotation. And he says, so I countered that I have read the entire New Testament and there's only one way, and it is through Jesus. And at this point my Arabic had run out, so I asked him if he had ever seen a New Testament. To which he replied, never. I casually asked him if he would want one, and that I had a copy in Arabic in my house. He was a little surprised, but told me that he would love to have a copy and that he would read it.
Was it worth standing in the cold and wet for 20 minutes? God gave Dwight and Melissa grace to stand in the cold for 20 minutes. And he gave him grace to quote John 14:6. And he gave him grace to remind him that he had an Arabic New Testament at home. And he gave him grace to have the gumption to say to this taxi driver, "Have you ever read a New Testament? Would you like to have one?" He says, "It's exciting to do this, and opportunities are everywhere. No one seeks after God, but I believe the Spirit of God is at work long before we've ever had our opportunities to be faithful witnesses. We will be faithful to our calling and to the wonderful message of the gospel." I want to encourage you. Grace is sufficient, and it superabounds. So, you have all you need in Christ, grace and peace, and it comes from the extreme, ultimate source, God the Father, through Jesus Christ. Bow your heads. Put into a sentence what God has said to you tonight. Put into a sentence, write it down. This is what God has said to me. Lord, as these young folks are writing, they've heard from you tonight, and I stand in amazement of your grace. Wow. God, you're awesome. You're so good. Thank you that you saved my soul as a 5-year-old boy. And I thank you for another chance to preach the word tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being with these young people and these adults. And Lord, thank you for a little bit of heaven on this side. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And tonight we adore you. We magnify you. Because whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, is all to make you big. Make you magnified because you are worthy. So we rejoice. We thank you. Change these young people this week. Change every one of them. May they be willing to be changed. And to understand how marvelous it is to be a servant set apart, totally supplied by Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand your feet with me for a moment, please? Stand your feet. I want you to sing with me. I want you to sing like you just got saved. It's all brand new. God is wonderful, awesome. I want you to know. And I want you to lift the, I want you to put the roof off of here, all right?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy.
will be when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Can you just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. What a Savior. You could be seated, Brother Andrew. Oh, you ready to depart? He said you could depart. Have at it. What's next? What are we doing?
We'll very soon be calling to either to the rug or the snack, whichever comes first, I'm not sure.
Okay.
For the singing.
All right. Enjoy the Lord. Have at it.
So the snack is ready. We'll head on down.
Taxi driver wives.
And I'm sure for many reasons why.
Hey David, you're gonna have a cool recording at the end of this. Just saying. Say something.
Something.
Good for you.